Do you prefer little toy food to your life-sized Campbell's soup can? Do you splurge in the travel size section? Do you buy furniture for your dollhouse that you can only dream of for your real home? You may be a miniature fanatic. While pint-sized products have always been a fascination, there's something particularly alluring about living in the miniverse in this day and age. Cincinnati Edition producer Selena Reeder recently went inside this weird and wonderful miniature world.
This August, Cincinnati will be the hub for a national convention of miniature collectors. Joining me now to discuss this fascination with the diminutive, our National Association of Miniature Enthusiasts Chair, Nancy Claypool, Miniature Gazette Editor, Suzanne O'Connell, and Miniature Society of Cincinnati Founder, Jean Ellsworth. Welcome to all of you.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nancy, when we think about miniatures, we often think about dollhouses. Is that what your group collects?
We have many exhibits. We have room boxes, we have vignettes, we have dollhouses. You know, we just collect a lot of little things. And I think there's a fascination with little things. Anything that is in real life, you can make in miniature.
And Jean, what about you? For the Cincinnati group, what kind of collections are we talking about?
I think we have all kinds of collectors in our club. Some collect large items like 1/12 scale. Some collect a half inch scale, and some of us collect 1/4 inch scale.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us that have been collecting for a long time are running out of room for the normal 1/12 scale size. So we've gone to the smaller scales.
That's when you have to downsize. You have to get the smaller and smaller dollhouses. So forget getting a perspective on scale for anyone who is not a dollhouse collector. For example, when I was a child, my mother made me first a dollhouse for my Strawberry Shortcake dolls. That would probably not be a typical scale. And then we moved on to a much larger house that she made, a wooden house. It was 3 stories. It was about 4 or so feet tall. It was Barbie doll size scale, but I was not allowed to have Barbie dolls. Instead, she preferred Kenner's version, the maxi doll, which was a little bit more realistic proportions. So what size scale is that?
That would probably be a 1/6 scale.
Okay.
Yeah.
For Barbie dolls. And I was a Barbie doll lover too. So I had Ken and Skipper and all those dolls. And I think that's where I kind of started loving dolls and having a dollhouse growing up. But now I have the really good stuff, you know, I call myself a dollhouse snob. So I'm one of those.
Oh, yes. Suzanne, let's talk about that childhood experience, because you have some dollhouses that were handmade.
Yes. Yeah, my grandmother started with the Miniature Society of Cincinnati Club back in the 70s, and it was about the time she retired, and she was looking to fill her time, and I was just at the right age, and so she decided to pick up a dollhouse and assemble it, a kit. And that was kind of the beginning of her love of miniature. She found the club shortly after, and she was a member for, I think, the rest of her life. And she and her sister did it together. They crafted constantly, and so I grew up around all the crafting that they would do. Eventually, me and all of my nieces or my cousins, we all had the experience of working alongside of grandma. And eventually, as she was downsizing, she gave me a few pieces, one of which is an apartment complex that has 4 shops along the bottom, and it's about 6 stories tall, and it's electrified and all sorts of good stuff. But I inherited that. And so after inheriting that, I decided I needed to make sure that I could take care of it. So I needed to know more. So I sought out the club, joined up, and I have learned a lot just attending meetings and being able to read, you know, the publications that they put out, whether it's newsletters or magazines or whatever. I've learned a lot, and I'm able to successfully tackle the problems that aging comes with, you know, owning a house.
You're getting the how-to on dollhouse maintenance.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes. Well, Jean, is this more than a hobby?
I had a miniature shop back in the 1980s, but now it's just a hobby.
And when you talk about those miniature shops, You were talking about how this used to be something that you could find locally, shops here and there. And I remember Kappel's selling miniature furniture, but this is not so much the case anymore.
No, we had three or four miniature shops in Cincinnati at one time, and they've all closed.
Now, Nancy, speaking of this not being a hobby, tell us where you're joining us from and tell us about these tiny scoops of ice cream.
I'm actually at an event called Sugar Days. I'm at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington in the Alltech Arena. We're the only miniaturists there. We got invited. I'm not sure exactly how, but there's other, you know, crafts. So these ice cream scoops, so we are doing for a committee gift, we're making little cups of ice cream. We have to make like 300. So there's going to be like three scoops in each one. I'm just sitting there making them, and they're a lot of fun. They're made out of air-dry clay, beautiful colors. I'm working on raspberry and pink and chocolate. I need to make 900 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
Three scoops to a cup.
We're talking about miniature collecting and a convention for miniature enthusiasts coming to Cincinnati in August. Let's talk about some of the places that you can find miniature displays. There are plenty of museums featuring them. There's one in Maysville, Kentucky.
Yes, the Kentucky Gateway Museum Center houses the KSB miniature collection. And it is an extraordinary collection of things that have Kathleen has collected. I know she buys pieces from around the world by very well-known creators, and she has commissioned pieces to be made. It's a wonderful day trip from Cincinnati, not very far, and it's well worth the trip. It's just a great place.
Home of Nick Clooney, I'm sure. Yeah. He has checked out this exhibit. So while I was in Baltimore, I discovered the work of Frances Glessner Lee. They say murder was her hobby. And she created these miniature crime scenes, and they were supposed to train homicide investigators to convict the guilty, clear the innocent, and find the truth in a nutshell. So, Suzanne, these miniature crime scenes are actually still being used as studies. Can you tell me how miniatures can work in this way as a tool for research?
Yeah, absolutely. Miniatures have been used in many ways, including the crime scenes, which are kind of infamous because not many people think to make a small scale of a crime scene. But, you know, she was the leading expert of her time for creating the forensic science understanding. You know, kind of forensic science came from where she started her research and creating miniatures. Beyond that, you know, we have lots of historical dioramas. There are lots of places you can go, museums or old homes where they have recreated, you know, some of the history of what that house would have been like, or sometimes the interior of the homes. So you can visit lots of different museums that will have a small-scale miniature of something that pertains to the history. And then in addition to that, I know somebody recently had told me that they had recreated, their club had been commissioned to recreate a courtroom. And part of that had to do with allowing children to see what a courtroom looks like before they have to go into a courtroom. Oh. So it was very applicable to helping children be comfortable when they have to walk into a courtroom for whatever reason, you know, some kind of a social services circumstance, but somebody had reached out to them to make the courtroom. And I thought that was a brilliant idea, and it should be applied to more places because children need to be made comfortable, you know, to walk into a new scary place and give an account of something. So
that's incredible. And when you bring up these mansions, these historic homes, castles that have been miniaturized to dollhouse scale, in many circumstances, the actual building is no longer standing, but the dollhouse endures.
Yeah.
So is there a historic preservationist aspect to dollhouses?
Absolutely. So the KSB Miniature Collection has a replication of the Cox Building. And the Cox Building has been there for a long time in Maysville. And they replicated it, and it burned. The real building burned.
Wow.
And they went back to the KSB Miniature Museum and said, can we inspect? And they rebuilt it based on, because she had brick for brick. She had made it exactly accurate, and they were able to reconstruct the real building based on the miniature that she had commissioned to be put together.
There must be some architectural and engineering know-how that goes into the construction of some of these far more intricate dollhouses.
Yeah, well, the far more intricate dollhouses we refer to as miniatures. So dollhouses are more specifically just smaller houses that have lots of different pieces of furniture, but nothing is necessarily to scale. And miniatures are very accurate and very to scale. And so, yes, there's a whole lot of intricacy that goes into making a miniature.
We're talking about miniature collecting and a convention for miniature enthusiasts coming to Cincinnati in August. Now, there are so many examples of miniatures. Nancy, has the market really exploded lately for miniatures?
You know, with the internet, it has totally exploded. We used to have four shops in Louisville also. And with the internet, the only thing is with the internet, I'm a touchy-feely person. So I like to feel it. I like to see it because you never know, you know, what exactly you're buying. That's why shows and conventions are so important to the miniature industry. And, you know, we try to get young people involved in it. And so we do have public days that we offer at our conventions so that if you're not a part of the convention for the week, you can come and buy. I just had somebody stop by. She's redoing a dollhouse, and she was looking for a place to buy things, to furnish it, wallpaper, furniture, et cetera. We have our show flyers here, and I told her, I said, you know, that's a perfect place for you to come and shop because, you know, you miss all that with not having any brick-and-mortar stores.
Aside from dollhouses, because it's not just dollhouses that fascinate us when it comes to miniatures. Target even has a Make It Mini line, and people are increasingly becoming fascinated in the travel size bottles, the travel size makeups. So, Nancy, has this become mainstream, our love for miniatures?
I think so. You know, you were talking about houses that are made into miniature. Actually, at Locust Grove in Louisville, which was the last home of George Rogers Clark, there's an exact replica of the house that he lived in. And it has, the house has like 50,000 bricks in it, the real house. But the dollhouse is exactly like it was. And it's an extraordinary piece to look at. And so you see a lot of these things, like the Benjamin Harrison house is now at the airport in Indianapolis. And so it is, miniatures to me is a telling of history. Now, there's a lot of contemporary houses that you see or room boxes or whatever, but to me, it is telling history. You know, you can see a lot of it and learn a lot from miniatures.
Would you say, Jean, that we're particularly drawn to miniatures right now in a time of inflation? I mean, maybe you can't furnish your whole apartment with what exactly you want, but perhaps you could buy a miniature scale version.
And that's so true. And most of us go back to our love of, like, old houses. I love Victorian houses, but I've never lived in one. Mm. But I can decorate my dollhouse with Victorian furniture and live through that period of time that I can't afford to go buy a Victorian house. You can start out at any level. You can buy very expensive handmade artisan things, and then you can buy moderately priced things. You can buy inexpensive things. At our miniature show, we even have a table that's $6 and under for the kids to buy things for their dollhouses.
So, Jean, tell us about the Miniature Society of Cincinnati. Where do you meet? When do you meet? And if people are interested in getting involved, how can they join?
Okay, we were founded in 1975, and we're celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. We have 50 members at this time. Our motto is to celebrate the joy of creating and collecting scale minis. We meet on the second Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. at the Kenwood Fellowship Church. Our meetings are open to anyone. We love to have guests. And anybody age 16 and older can join the club.
And we're going to have a link to the club on our website, wvxu.org. Nancy, tell us about the upcoming events that we can check out in Cincinnati. Tell us about this convention.
Well, it begins in August the 11th, and it runs all the way till the next Sunday. There's workshops. If you're not signed up for the convention, you can come as a daytimer, and you can just take a workshop or a theme luncheon where we have an artisan speak, and then you get a gift. We'll have an unbelievable garage sale, and we're doing the gala, which is a board event, and it's actually going to be at the Kentucky Gateway Museum. So there's lots of things for people to do, and we'll have a kids event on Saturday and Sunday. This year, it's going to be one of my club members who is doing it on the committee, and she is doing an ice cream stand. We're all about the ice cream because Grater's is out of Cincinnati, and we have it in Louisville, and she's doing that. So there's for every age, and you know, it's, I think maybe they start at an early age with dollhouses because I know all three of my granddaughters have dollhouses. Then they kind of grow out of it, but you know, then you kind of get back into it. Everybody needs a hobby when you retire. And I can't think of a better hobby than miniatures because you can either do it by yourself, you can do it with a group. You know, I love going to club meetings. I love meeting other people that have this crazy habit, you know, this crazy hobby of miniatures we all love. I always say I'm crazy for minis.
And now, what about boys and men? Because I know there must be some of them in the groups. And my son, his grandmother, my mother, recently made him a dollhouse out of cardboard. It's like three stories and it has an elevator in it. And he just loves it and puts his Lego figures in it. So tell me about the guys getting involved in this.
The person that's with me today is a member of my club. He's also a member of NAME. And Bob has been doing miniatures since the 70s. He used to do set designs for the University of Kentucky. Right now, he's in there making jewelry. And he makes jewelry, he does needlework, and he's got some awesome exhibits today. So there is a place. In fact, another one of my club members, she has two boys, and the younger one would put his toy soldiers into the dollhouses. Not sure how she felt about that. But, you know, it's creativity, and it's something that, you know, it keeps your mind going and your hands, especially when you get older and, you know, making things with your hands, using your mind, and you can look at something and say, oh, I could do that in miniature. So it definitely, and we have two or three men in our club. So it's not just for females, actually. So it's for young and old.
And now, if you go to the convention, are you going to see displays as well?
Yes, there will be. We will have exhibits. We always have an exhibit room, and we'll have many exhibits. And I know that Gina talked about scale. There's also another scale. It's a 1/144th, which is very, very tiny. In fact, I said I would never do that again, but it's kind of fascinating. I have one of the exhibits here. It's a Dutch kitchen, and the plates are made out of paper. Now, you would never know that because it's so small to look at. So we will have an exhibit room that'll have exhibits from people from all over.
Now, this very tiny scale, would you compare this to the Polly Pocket scale, or is it even smaller than that?
Oh, it's smaller than that. The chairs. Okay, so for example, the plates are the size of a hole puncher. You know, when you just punch out a piece of paper, that's about the size of a 1/144th plate.
Yeah, and you have to get out the magnifying glass and the special, like, dental tools and clay tools with the points on them to construct this type of furniture.
Right. When I was making those ice cream scoops, the lady behind me that's selling hats, regular size hats, she said, I don't know how you do that with, you know, to see all that you're making. And I said, well, actually, you know, when I don't have my contacts in, I can see a whole lot better. But to make things, yes, you need magnifying glasses, you need the cheaters and everything that you can find.
Yes, being nearsighted is to your benefit when it comes to miniatures.
Correct, correct.
Jean, I understand you have an event coming up in June.
Yes, we have our local miniature club show. It's Friday, June 6th from 4 to 7. And it's Saturday, June 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's at the Heritage Presbyterian Church in Mason, Ohio. Adult admission is $5. Children 4 to 12 is $3. We have a sales room with artisan-made miniatures. We have museum-quality exhibits.
And we're going to have a link on our website, wvxu.org. Well, Nancy Claypool with the National Association of Miniature Enthusiasts, Jean Ellsworth with the Miniature Society of Cincinnati, and Suzanne O'Connell with the Miniature Gazette. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical directors are Marshall Verbsky and Carlos Lopez-Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.